my next book with John Lennon to be called Notes from John Across the Universe. However, I can't say that I got done. I'm a very busy person, and I'm still working on the project. But I am so delighted and thankful to Don Newsom for his continuing support of the Peaceful Planet and all the good work that he's doing throughout the world to bring peace to the planet. Now, today we have the most special guests, and I am so delighted to bring them to you, the McComber family, who are writing a book with world-renowned psychic Ruth Montgomery. And those of you in the New Age movement who are familiar with psychic phenomenon probably know that Ruth Montgomery is a household name. And they have written a most amazing book titled Ruth Montgomery Writes Again. And we're going to be getting with them in a few minutes after I do some readings from John Lennon. And I want to give our listeners as well the toll-free number in case they would like to speak with any of the McCombers. We actually have Rob McComber, Jane McComber, and Paul McComber, all who are brothers and sister, joining us live today on the Peaceful Planet. And they're going to be talking about their work from spirit and how they all ended up in this collaboration together. You will be totally fascinated, as I am. So our toll-free line is 877-876-5227 in the USA. And you can call in and ask them a question or me a question at 888-810-8322 in Canada. And so anyway, before I read my message, I want to send a warm welcome to the McCombers. Are you there with me?
We are. Thank you very much.
All right. It's great to hear your voices, and it's so great to be back up here with the Peaceful Planet. We won't be doing readings today, by the way, on air, but if you would like to get a reading with me, you can visit www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com and go to the site index. Press the site index, and up will come readings with Marcia and the Archangels. And I do readings specifically designed to help you connect with the Archangels and to find your spiritual purpose. So if you're interested in finding out more about your life purpose, please visit my site. Also, I want to mention that my book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, is a book about establishing peace in the Middle East. These are diplomatic solutions that have been heard by the various diplomats around the world that Diana knew in life. And this book is a tool for world peace. So if you are interested in promoting world peace, I suggest you pick up a copy of the book and that you use it as a tool for peace, send it along to a senator or whatever. It's political in nature, but as well it includes information about Diana's true biography. All right, so the message I'm going to read to you today, and I always, as most of you know, I'm a channel and I work with spirit. I primarily work with Princess Di and John Lennon, as I've said, and I always open with an inspirational message from one of the guides that I work with on various subjects, and I got this one recently, and I thought it was fantastic by John Lennon. So this is just to highlight what he's doing on the other side and his thoughts. And it's titled Across the Universe. Marcia, hey John, been thinking of you with all the news and press about the song Across the Universe being projected to the star system called Polaris. John, oh yeah, it's a really big deal for NASA. Too bad they won't talk about the work they're all doing with extraterrestrial life on the other planets in our solar system. I am pleased that not only have I and Paul gone global, but across the universe. Those were my words, Marcia, my dear, when I would ask your listeners and guests to hear the great tunes Bob Murray is doing through your work and to play some of the music today. Remarkable Nebulae would be a great one to feature, and be sure to read your lyrics. Of course, the other version of it is Remarkable Diana. We the half-beats, George and John, pleased to see what is being done to save the planet for unity consciousness and for peace. We ask all to give peace a chance and to give our great music from the other side a chance it deserves so that people everywhere can turn on to peace as they did when I was on the Earth plane. This is John Lennon here saying hello to all our fans out there across the universe. Love ya, John. So that's a great message to open our show and our interview with our special guests, the McComber family, who have written a wonderful book titled Ruth Montgomery Writes Again. And their book is available online, and they are going to be giving away some books today. I don't know exactly the details of the giveaway, but if you want more information, you should visit their website. And if you click on my page on BBS, called The Peaceful Planet, on the Saturday link, bring up the link and go right to their site at www.ruthmontgomerywrites.com, and that's spelled R-U-T-H-M-O-N-T-G-O-M-E-R-Y. So anyway, I want to read a little bit of each one's bio. We've got three people with us that have been patiently waiting in the wings to get to know you and tell you more about their wonderful book, which actually is very similar to my work because it's a book that can actually save the world and prevent terrorism, prevent hunger, and help to curb the AIDS crisis in Africa. So they're doing some wonderful work. Jane McComber is a single mother of two teenage boys, Justin and Caleb. She is 44 and works as the assistant manager of housekeeping at an inn in Massachusetts and attended the Gould Academy in Hampshire College. Paul is married to his wife, Sasha, and lives in California. Age 42, he went to Kent Hill School and Babson College and is a partner in two businesses that provide equipment and supplies to parents of newborn children. And Rob. Rob lives in Vermont with his wife, Phil. He's 49, attended Milton Academy and Bedoin College, and is a lifelong entrepreneur who blends being a business consultant with working on his book. So Jane, Paul, and Rob, what an honor it is to have you on, finally.
It's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. And I know all of you have collaborated in this book, but I want to give our audience a little bit more about who was Ruth Montgomery and a lineup of all the books that she wrote and what she was famous for in her life. So who would feel most qualified to speak on that?
This is Rob. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Rob.
Ruth was perhaps best known before she began writing books in the spiritual genre. As a noted political columnist in Washington, she was what I would term the Diane Sawyer of her day, if you will. She appeared on Meet the Press frequently and covered foreign affairs as well as the Washington political beat. And what happened was she found out in the late 50s when doing investigative pieces like Phenomena that she had the ability to do automatic writing, and then subsequently wrote about a dozen books in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, with her last one being in 1999, based upon the input that she received from her spirit guides and through automatic writing transmissions.
Right. So she was actually a gifted psychic herself and investigated this as a journalist in the 50s, and then she found out, hey, this stuff is real. And so she became very well loved throughout the world, and most of you who are listening probably have read her latest book, which was produced, as you said, in 99, and the title of it was, Rob?
The World to Come.
The World to Come, and it was about the coming shift in consciousness and possibly an axis shift on the earth and what we needed to do to prepare for quote-unquote ascension, and some of these cataclysmic types of earth changes. Now, I had set it as a goal to try to reach Ruth Montgomery, and I didn't know that she had gone to spirit. I should have assumed, because I knew she was very old when she wrote her last book. And I'd been trying to reach her otherwise, because I'm an author. And then I finally decided I'll just do a web search, and then I came upon your book. And I thought it was really awesome that she's writing from the other side. Who would like to venture into how this process began? Didn't it start with you, Jane?
Yes, I'm the one that started the automatic writing, but Rob is actually the person who tried it first.
Oh, okay.
He was wondering if Ruth had a successor, and he didn't know that Ruth had actually passed on. So he was going to try to contact her, and then he stumbled upon the fact that she had actually passed over to the other side. And so he was, you know, really at first disappointed, but then he got this great notion of maybe I can be his successor, and became very excited about it, and tried to do the writing, and he got, as he called it, his hen scratchings, And so, you know, he was very diligent about still trying to do it. And over a Christmas family dinner, he was telling us about it, which for our family is not an unusual thing. We, you know, we're all very open. And it was almost like a love at first sight moment for me. As soon as he was talking about it, I knew instantly that I could do it. And
that's amazing.
I didn't try it for a while. I was, you know, I knew that I could do it, so I knew that, you know, I've got plenty of time. I can do it whenever. And the first time I did it was actually when I was up at about 4:30 in the morning one morning. I couldn't sleep. And, you know, my kids were sleeping, so I thought, this is a great time. And I sat down, and immediately the pen just started doing loops and figure eights, and it was really, really exciting. But also, it's, you know, I had this kind of dual thought to it. It's like, this is really great, and it's really wild. And at the same time, it's like, am I crazy?
or is there some evil influence? Because, you know, so often the church has tried to say that this stuff is poo-poo and it isn't real and you're playing with the demons and blah, blah, blah. You know?
That's very true. I have actually had that happen to me when using the Ouija board.
Oh, yeah. There's demonic stuff going on with Ouija boards. I never use them. That's exactly right.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that I know who do this. I'm a member of a couple of Yahoo groups of channelers, and probably 90% of them say that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the feelings that I have about being protected with the automatic writing is because I went through that as a teenager along my own spiritual path, back then I actually projected security and protection for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really big, strong factor for me now, that I am protected because of the thoughts I projected into the future as a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, because I played with it as a teenager, and I wouldn't become involved with it. I instinctively knew to stay away from it. I don't know if it was just my religious upbringing, too, but there are elements that can come through. So good for you. And you do sort of a white light protection and prayer, as I remember reading in the book. So,
yeah.
You know, I do an automatic writing in my work, too. But I actually, I hear kind of an inner voice, or the words just sort of flow through me, so that I never experimented with a pen and writing in that respect. Mine was more that I kept a journal, and I began to hear from Princess Diana, and then I began to write out words. So yours is a little different, but, you know, some people do full voice channels, some people do some people do automatic writing, which is closer to what I do. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. You did a good description, Jane, on how it all began. When did you first know that this was Ruth speaking with you? Did she identify her name?
Well, my sister and I, actually, my sister was the first person that I told. I actually did not want to tell my brother Rob, because I knew he'd want to embark on doing something like this book.
God, he'd rock you, right?
Right, Rob? Right. And I was feeling like, oh, I'm not ready for anything like that. So I believe that my sister Laura and I, we asked it. That it was her idea. She said, why don't we ask it its name? And it spelled out the word Lily, L-E-E-L-Y, which in reality was really Lily. And then I believe that we asked, you know, is Ruth Montgomery with you? And it wrote out the word yes. So
yeah.
It was
I recognized Lily right away, because that would have been one of Ruth's primary guides. I've read most of Ruth's books, you know.
Yes. And I actually have still not read Ruth's books, because when I first started this, I didn't want to read them and be influenced by her writing, because I was still very, you know, like, this is really great, but am I just crazy?
Very much your own biggest skeptic.
Right, exactly.
Can I read something from Ruth?
Absolutely.
As quoted in chapter 1? I think this is so powerful, and it summarizes a lot of what you guys are trying to do in your work, which is to bring peace to the world. And this is what Ruth had to say through your automatic writing, I believe, Jane. It is fun doing this work from the other side, heaven. There is so much freedom up here. It is indescribable. The best way to put it is a magnificent sunset feeling all day long that never ends. It's like a timeless sense of joy that returns to you each and every second of the day and night. It is beautiful, and I can't wait for the day when humans on Earth will experience this kind of bliss. It is our intention to let the world know that it is very possible to have peace on Earth. So I think that's an amazing excerpt from your book. And I am a great admirer of Ruth, by the way, Jane. And I think you should read every book of hers without fear, because I don't doubt that you're channeling her, and I think you learned something from... Oh, she did some phenomenal research back in the days when this kind of thing just wasn't being done at all, you know.
Well, that's on one of my list of things to do now that it's been about 5.5 years since I started doing the automatic writing. I feel that now I'm safe and that I won't let, you know, those her books influence my own thoughts and get in the way.
But because you had only read the last of her books, I think, just the one, Jane, and Paul Marshall was actually the person in the family who introduced us all to Ruth's books back in 96, wasn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it was. I had just moved to California, and I was living in Mill Valley, California, right outside of San Francisco, and I lived right around the corner from the Mill Valley Library, and I found Ruth's, the first book that I had read was Strangers Among Us, and it really resonated with me, so I found a few more, read them, and then I found some copies and sent them on to Rob, and we discussed them, and they really resonated with Rob, and I was just like, wow, it's amazing information that she's getting from the other side and trying to impart to us here in the world to help make the world a better place. So, you know, I ended up finding all of her books and reading them all, as did Rob, and we started discussing them that way, and as we did many other books.
So you guys were big fans. You were big fans then. You were and Rob were big fans of Ruth and had read most of her books. It was just
we had read all of them now. Yes, very much so. Yeah, they somehow one of the first book that I read it resonated very deeply with me. So I didn't realize where it was gonna lead to, but now we know.
Yeah, well, you know, I find it interesting that I managed to find you guys because I find there's so much similarity in my work and your work. I have a message from John Lennon, but I'm going to share it with you privately in email, too. So anyway, I'm fascinated with how this unfolded, and I think you did a good job. I think Rob did a lot of the editing, and I think, Rob, you did a great job of pulling this together to help people understand how this evolved in your family and the doubts that you had about your own work, and then how you all reached out to the spirit world in various ways to receive confirmation. So I'm just going to put the question out there to all three of you, and whichever one of you wants to answer it will do so. How did you get confirmation? How did you know without a doubt that this was really Ruth and the guides coming through? And who was the first person to feel a secure sense that this was really the real deal?
Well, I knew, like I said, from the very beginning that I could do the automatic writing, but I specifically also, it was just a deep-seated knowing that I could contact Ruth and her guides in particular, because that's what the conversation had been about. And so it wasn't just a knowing that I could do the automatic writing, but that I could reach Ruth, and that because Rob and Paul were so knowledgeable about her and so interested in her work, that this is possible. And when Rob and I first did the writing together, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rob, that it was the same for him, that it was just an instinctive knowing deep in our souls that this is Ruth and her guide.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Spirit always gives you a name, too, so you can go on that. Go ahead, whoever was going to speak, yeah.
You know, for me, Marcia, it was, you know, I was skeptical myself also. I had read hundreds of spiritually oriented books and many channel books. And in for me, it was always from the outside looking in, reading these books. And then when this all started happening to our family, I was like, well, you know, this is stuff that I read about. It's not stuff that you know, would happen to me. And why, you know, why would they be choosing our ordinary family?
Yeah.
So for me, I was very skeptical at first. And then... as it went farther along, all the information that was coming across just seemed like it was all such positive information and kind of a continuation of wanting to do good for the world, as Ruth had done with all her books. with the gods. And I think what really sealed it for me was I received an email from Jane from one of my friends that had recently passed to the other side, who she had never met before, and had talked about things that Jane knew nothing about. So,
wow.
So for me, that was really, he talked about very specific things that confirmed that, okay, this actually is absolutely for real.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think when you have those aha moments and somebody brings through someone from the other side that you knew and loved and it sounds just like them, then it leaves very little room for doubt that all the rest of it is corroborated. That's what we call confirmation or corroboration, which I know that happens with me because I am in touch with others who channel Diana. And I've even had the pleasure of having messages from Diana sent to me from the others who have been on my program before, of course, too, who I've met over the years who had separate websites, who were separately channeling Diana, and had no idea that I was until we met, you know? So, I mean, that kind of thing. And this was Paul that I was speaking with, correct?
Yes, that's
yeah,
right.
I thought so. Well, good for you, Paul. And I'm so glad that you're feeling free to speak up. So anyway, you know, there's so much information as the book rolls along that I want to highlight for our audience because not only, you know, overcoming doubt in a project like this, but the fact that you are working together, I think it lends strength to your work. Now, I work alone, and I think because I work alone, it puts more of a burden on me, the burden of proof, and then it also limits me in terms of getting things done because putting books together is a huge, huge task. And with three people and three different manuscripts going round and round, I can imagine what you went through to put the book together. But at the same time, you also have the benefit of a family support network. Now, my family, the only time they're interested in my work is if they need a reading. Otherwise, I don't want to hear anything about Princess Diana or the other side, except for my parents, who are very elderly and receive, you know, some comfort from hearing from my grandparents in spirit, you know. But generally speaking, that's how it is with folks. They're only interested in their own little narrow band of is this for me kind of thing. Does someone have a message for me? But this is a message for the world. Just like my work with Princess Di is a message for the world, yours is a message for the world. And there's so much good stuff in here. And I really wish you all the very best in terms of accomplishing these amazing goals that Ruth and her guides have set for you. But I might throw this one out to Rob because I know that Rob is so gung-ho enthusiastic about seeing all these projects come to fruition. But Rob, if you could just elaborate for our audience, what are some of the major goals that Ruth and the guides would like our Earth to wake up to? And what are some of the disasters that we're facing if we don't wake up in time? And let's get real honest here about what they're saying, because in the last book that Ruth wrote, in The Age to Come, she talked about the shift of the Earth on its axis, dramatic Earth changes, all as a result of so much of the pollution and so much of the abuse of Mother Earth. And in the New Age, we see a lot of information that's out there that can be quite scary and hard to decipher. So if you could give us some insight into what the guides say is the potential, where we need to make the turnaround as a humanity, and what we can do, say, for continents such as Africa, which is becoming a continent of orphans. What can we do about these world crises?
Well, the guides have, and Ruth have outlined a three-part action plan for planet Earth, and they see three components as being essential to achieving the bright future that Ruth spoke of in the quote that you read earlier, Marcia. The first is the need for third world countries to receive greater recognition in world affairs by the developed countries. In terms of economic resources and political recognition, however, on the other side of it, the guide Ruth explained that the populations of these third world countries are very much in tune with the Earth. They possess knowledge of universal laws of existence that could be of great benefit to the human race as a whole, and in the final analysis probably have more to offer the developed nations than vice versa. The second part of the action plan focuses on the underprivileged segments of society around the world, especially youth and the women of the world. and that right now young people, especially in the West, if you will, need better guidance early on in their lives, but possess the potential to do a great deal of good in our world, but they're socially conditioned, you know, with a lot of influence having to do with competition, greed, materialism, with not enough focus placed on love, time spent with family, and the importance of doing things for others. And with respect to women, both here and abroad, the spirit realm has emphasized the necessity of correcting the existing imbalance between the genders, and that this rampant sexism that seems so pervasive in virtually all aspects of our society is really depriving our world from vast pools of underutilized wisdom, leadership, and talent. The action plan in general, we've just really outlined a framework in this first book. In the second book, which is going to be called Good Against Evil Equals Love Versus Fear, we'll really flesh out the details of this that have just been generally outlined in the first book. But getting back to the three parts of the action plan from the spirit realm, the third issue is one which Ruth wrote a great deal about, as you mentioned, Marcia, and that is the urgency of human beings taking better care of our home, the Earth. And they're imploring us to take immediate action to reverse the ways in which we're now literally, as you said, poisoning the planet. We're sowing the seeds of our own demise, and we're like an ostrich with his head in the sand in terms of our mentality, not recognizing the future consequences of our present actions. So those are the three basic things that they feel are really important to do. And the vehicle that they'd like to generate attention on this project through is one that set the bar very high for a little family-fledging project like ours. They let both Paul and Jane know, just through an inner intuition, not even by automatic writing, that they wanted 50% of this book's profits to be donated in some way. And what they came out in the writings from Paul and Jane is that they want us to use 50% of the project's profits to serve as seed money to initiate an ongoing series of Live Aid-like concerts involving all genres of music that is to be known as the World Aid Concert Series, which we've come to nickname the Big Gig. So those are the main aspects. I'll let Jane or Paul fill in if I missed one of the big points.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you've covered it really well, Rob, and it's just a really exciting idea to me, the music aspect of this, because music is just, it's something that everybody can relate to. You could have 50 people from 50 different countries in the same room, and you turn on some music, and everybody can relate to it, and I think relate to each other. I think it brings people closer together. So for me, that's a really, really exciting exciting goal, although, you know, it is kind of a big one, but I'm really excited about that.
I agree with that, and I'm doing the same thing with John's Lennon being aired on our program. It's this idea to eventually bring peace to the planet through music, but you've got some incredible goals here to reach the world's top people with your message. Who are some of the top names?
Well, Bono is top of the list. We actually have dedicated a whole chapter to him because of the work that he's already done. And he's already infused these two things together. He's a musician himself, as everybody knows. And then he's taking on all these causes that our guides, that Ruth and the guides have said we need to do. And so, you know, he's already doing everything the guides have pretty much said we need to do. So
He's an absolute miracle worker in my book. I just think the best of Bono. I only wish, though, that I could reach some of these people. You know, I've tried to reach Elton John because Diana has messages for Sir Elton, and I've sent the book and found it returned in the mail. You know, a lot of them just cannot accept fan mail for whatever reason.
Well, I'm a member of two Yahoo groups with people who do channeling, and I've made a lot of really good contacts, and especially with this one man who lives in England, and he's actually trying to accomplish basically what we are, peace in the world through music. And he actually works for a publishing house who publishes Mind, Body, and Spirit books, and they actually have a lot of good contacts through he has good contacts through his publishing company. So I'm really hoping that he'll be a big link in this, you know. And
that sounds good. Maybe you could share that that Yahoo group and the information with me. I'd be interested, too, because I would like to reach some of these other celebrities with my work, too. So Thank you for sharing that. And some of the other names we were getting into here,
Elton John.
Yeah.
As you just mentioned, Elton John, and you know, pretty much any celebrity that would be willing to take this on. You know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they already do an incredible amount. I think, you know,
they're both wonderful, I think. Yeah.
They are, and I mean, they're really helping, like, the children aspect, children and third world aspect of this.
Yeah, she seems very concerned about Africa, and she's been over.
She really is.
She's been over to see the carnage in Sudan and did a special on it, and I thought that was very brave. You know, I'm glad to see people stepping up to the plate the way Princess Diana did when she was alive, you know?
Oh,
and
I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, reaching these people is going to be your biggest problem, but if you have some contacts, that'll really help, because I haven't been able to reach a lot of the celebrities that Diana mentioned simply because of their huge celebrity status and the fact that they don't want to get anything in the mail that isn't solicited. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's been a problem for me. But I have reached a lot of the diplomats she knew in life, and that is my aspect of my my goal, is to create peace in the Middle East. So through whatever means possible, these diplomats have read my book. So I felt very grateful that at least I was able to reach those individuals.
Marcia, were they receptive to the message?
Very much so, yes. Yes, but they won't be coming out with a press conference on it, naturally.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was one former head of state who read the material and was actually able to transform aspects of foreign policy in the Middle East as a result, I believe. But, again, that's what I'm saying. That's not what they're saying. So back to your idea of reaching these people, and, you know, if you could get your book out on maybe TV or something like that, I think that, you know, you might get a lot of people interested. And I love the idea that you're willing to donate 50% of the proceeds. I really wish you the best on that, because I've been guided by Spirit this year to make my website into a non-for-profit, and that somehow Spirit told me that I'd be getting on TV this year and that I would be able to use my my exposure to help promote peace in some way. So I think it would be interesting to stay in touch with you guys over possible future collaborations, since our work is so similar. But I really, you know, there's some other marvelous information here about a healer in Central or South America, and I thought that what the guides revealed about that was just really stunning. Can you share more about that?
This is the gentleman from Guatemala.
Yeah.
Who they make reference to.
Mm-hmm.
Who they identified generally as John's son or son of John. And they gave us information, but not enough to identify a specific individual, and said that he possessed the ability, through his knowledge of the rainforest and plants, to help find the cure for both cancer and AIDS. And this was a great example, I think, of how for all three of us, a lot of the information that came through was on topics that we really had very little knowledge about, and to a certain extent, not a lot of day-to-day interest in, to be quite candid. But the guide said that these were issues that were affecting all of us ultimately, and as we delved into and explored them, we were amazed to find out just how grave the situation is in many situations. Such as you're talking about with Africa. I had no idea the connection between what's going on in Africa and what happens over here in America until I started to study it a little.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to put our toll-free number out there if there are listeners that would like to call in and ask you guys a question. Our toll-free number is 877-876-5227 in USA, and in Canada you can call 888-810-8322. Please feel free to give us a call. Call in the McComers, ask them a question about their book, or you may ask me a question. Again, I'm not doing reading so much as just taking your calls and questions, and we'd love to hear from our audience.
You know, Marcia, if I could, just going back to the donating 50% of the profits, it was a little humorous what happened. As Jane told me that she, in this first few weeks of the project, back in 2002, because these transmissions began in 2002, and it took us literally 5 years to get the book put together. But Jane said in the first few weeks, I'm getting this sense internally that we're supposed to give half the profits away. I'm not sure to what yet. And so I mentioned it to Paul, and Paul said, oh, yeah, Rob, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. I've been getting the same sense, too. And Paul hadn't even started the automatic writing by that point.
Oh, wow. Well, wonderful.
They were very specific about how the 50% should be split up. Two-thirds of the 50% would go towards seed money for the big gig, these World Aid concerts, and the other third would go directly to help children in third world countries.
Let's talk a little bit about the AIDS crisis in Africa, because this is something that I feel Americans should not ignore, and I want to encourage our listeners to think about these things and think about ways that they can also help. We've got a situation that's reached crisis proportions over there with children being orphaned every day. And if you're not already giving to children in Africa, I know that UNICEF and other programs, the Red Cross, are doing some marvelous work. Diana always recommends the Red Cross, but I really want to put the idea out there that there is a crisis, and if we don't take care of these children, they're going to grow up without parents, and it's very likely that they're going to be marginalized by people coming in that have terrorist intentions, that want to indoctrinate them. So it's to our best interest in many respects to care for these AIDS children. We may not be able to adopt one, but it'd be great if we could. But we can certainly send our money, and we can certainly think about what we could personally do. So let's talk about that a little bit more. What are the guides saying we need to do to help these kids?
Well, Bono actually touches on what you just said about the terrorists trying to get children of these third world nations who are, you know, basically left alone, like you said. And so his idea ties right in with the guides, is that we need to save this continent. We need to, give our time, not just our money, but our time and our love and our energy. And that's something that I don't think everyday Americans really think about sometimes, is that when you even just put out a positive thought, that can do some good. And the guides have said that it's whatever you can give. If you can't give money, then certainly you can't give money. But you could just put a prayer out for these kids. Or if you, you know, if you're a wealthy businessman and you can go to Africa and help out, do that. So whatever it is that you can give, give it. You know, don't go beyond your means.
Suggest to our listeners, too, is to do a Google search for African charities or something and see what comes up. And then check those charities out and verify that they're the real thing before you give money. But, you know, there are umpteen respectable charities that are doing things. But, you know, it does come down to us. And if we don't parent these children, so to speak, if we don't reach out and give these children food and drugs for AIDS and the things that Bono is saying need to be done, you know, we're going to create a tragedy of immense proportions that will come knocking on our back door. And how is it that the guides warned us about that?
Well, they make the connection, as you do, that there is a very direct link between people who become in desperate situations through the ravages of disease and poverty being very vulnerable to being recruited as terrorists. And in fact, the spirit guides had a very specific thing they said early on about the AIDS crisis. They said, quote, "We need to put AIDS on the list of diseases we can wipe out. We should first deal with the medical and socioeconomics of the African continent and all continents that have an epidemic of AIDS. What we'd like for you to do is to clear a space for medical doctors and nurses to please come and help with these dying people. They are in grave danger to become extinct altogether if we don't help." We found that very powerful, urgent.
I think so, and thank you for reading that. Is there anything else that, you know, we have about 5 minutes or maybe 10, maybe 7 minutes of our program before we return to our music, and I wonder if there's anything else in the book that any of you would like to personally speak on, anything that that I failed to mention, any kind of a quote that you'd like to read, you know, just anything at all, and I'd like to hear from each one of you if possible. And I hope I've given each one of you the airtime that you deserve, because it's not the easiest thing to conduct a three-way, four-way interview, but you guys have held up wonderfully.
Well, this is Paul here. I think I'd just like to touch back on the World AIDS concert. It I think it's such a great vehicle to help unite the world.
I think
it'll
so
serve,
too.
It'll serve because music is such a universal language that we can all understand and we can all appreciate together. So it will not only bring us together through the means of music, but it will also help to raise awareness to all the causes that are out there and help raise money for them and help fund all these things like the desperate children in the third world countries. So it's really, it will serve so many great purposes, not just the fact of having musical concerts to raise money to funnel it to these children. It'll help to unite us and to bond us as a world, I believe.
And, you know, I think that if Bono gets a hold of your book, he's going to go with it. And that's my vibration, that he's going to notice this book on a bookshelf somewhere, take it up, and I'm getting that he's going to really like your work.
That's what we're hoping.
He's the number one guy, because you're resonating right down the line with the work that he's already doing.
The guys had said, if you just write the book, we'll put the right people in front of you. So far they have, and we're on your show, so it's a great start.
Yes, it is. And I really suggest that you contact all the shows on BBS and let them know about your great work. And I think that you'll find some good feedback. And after show, I'll give you the email to send it to so that you know who to reach and how to do that. So I'm sure there'll be others on BBS that'll want to get a hold of your book, and that'll help you along the way. So thank you, Paul, for sharing that. Now let's turn to either Rob or to Jane and anything that you particularly would like to highlight.
Well, one of the things that is very, very dear to my heart are children not only in the third world countries but in America as well, because in a sense, these children are dying too. I have two teenage boys, so I can tell you firsthand, it is not easy being a teenager or a child in this American society today. You are constantly bombarded through the media and images. And my son Justin, who has just been diagnosed with inattentive ADD, was having a really difficult time in high school last year. It was his first year of high school, and you know, his teachers and guidance counselors and I were all getting together and trying to formulate these plans for what the best course of action for his education would be. And he said to me one day, he said, "Nobody is listening to me. This is about me. And you are all coming up with your own ideas, but you're not listening to me." And so I think that we as Americans, whether you have children or you're in contact with somebody else's children, you really need to listen to what the kids are saying. Because you know, this thing of, you know, children don't speak until you're spoken to, that has to be thrown out the window. And I think to a degree it has been. I think we've come a long way, but kids really need to have a voice in their own future. And I think that everyone would be better off if they would let the children speak. And that's, like I said, I hold children very dear to my heart. I love kids of all ages, and I've worked with them, and I have my own sons have friends that will call me up at the mall, even if they're not with my kids, and say, "Can you come pick me up?" And so, to me, that's something.
No, I don't know if you know this about me, but I've taught for 30 years now, so I completely relate to what you're saying. As a teacher, you do need to listen to children, and it's amazing the wisdom that comes out of their mouths sometimes. And I do agree that a lot of these ADD or ADHD kids, you know, the special needs children need particularly a large amount of understanding, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do. They certainly do. And my son was fortunate enough when he was younger, through sixth grade, he was fortunate enough to go to private schools, and they really, they hit the mark with accepting every child for who they were and accepting every learning style. And, you know, I think if more children could get that, that, you know, we'd just all really be better off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that your son is in good hands with you, Jane, and I admire you as a mother, and I think you do a good job articulating what the children need, and I feel that love connection there from you. So wonderful for you. And so, Rob, were there any final parting remarks that you wish to make about the book, or particularly emphasize with Ruth's channeling through the book?
Well, I think if I would sum up the most important thought I would leave listeners with is that little each and every one of us can make a difference. I can tell you I never expected to be doing this project that you're speaking with us about, and I never dreamed that I could get so excited about things that I had no knowledge of before. But when I go to sleep at night, most nights I'm now so excited that I can't wait to get up the next morning, and often just get up in the middle of the night to start again. And I've been amazed to find out that everything, it truly is interconnected, because a lot of the things that these spirit guides and Ruth talked about were things that I didn't know much about, didn't have much interest in. And then I thought to myself, gosh, they've set such huge goals for us. Is this even possible? Are we just tilting at windmills? And then I kept coming back to one of the things they said in the early days of this project in 2002, and they said, the essence of peace is the belief it can happen. And so I guess I would just ask people who are listening to truly believe that they can make a difference and to not be afraid to give it a try, because there's absolutely no downside.
May I read something from a quote in your book to finish out your interview? Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Okay, page 408 in the book, Ruth Montgomery writes again, we encourage our listeners to get the book online if you're listening today. Ruth says here, it is true goodness in people's hearts that we want to come out because it is there. And then, as she says here, Ruth Montgomery writes one more time, it is time not to point fingers about the past, but recognize the mistakes and clean things up for the present and the future. There's a grand future and a happy now just waiting to be discovered. It's like the ruins of so many civilizations that the archaeologists dig up beneath the earth, only it is buried deep within our souls. Only it's not really that deep at all. As a matter of fact, it really lies just beneath the surface. Some people have more layers of betrayal on them, but I tell you this, it is easy to lift 100 layers as it is to lift one. Just let it go, and it's done with. It's really all so simple. It's the true goodness of the people's hearts that we want to come out, because it is there. So I think that Ruth is getting at a very important thing here, and that is that this interview is not about you guys as much, or Ruth Montgomery, or myself. It's about all of our listeners, and it's about them tuning into the goodness in their hearts and doing something to help affect the goodness of the planet when we need it so much right now.
That's absolutely true.
I want to thank you, the McComber family, Jane, Rob, and Paul, for being honored guests on my program, The Peaceful Planet. And I'd like to stay in email contact with you guys and, you know, hear about your updates. Let me mention the website again for all of our listeners who want to read the book. You can visit www.ruthmontgomerywritesagain.com, and then also, I guess somebody was trying to call this line, www.goodagainstevil.com, and we're going to end this out with a special song. The song that John had referenced in my message at the start was Remarkable Nebulae, also known as Remarkable Diana. And we thank you so much for joining us on The Peaceful Planet, and we will be airing again next week featuring the fine work of another great light worker, John J. Harper. Excuse me. And then we want to, again, thank the McComers, and we're closing out with our music. Thanks again. See you next time.
Thanks, Marcia.